Welcome to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. You can find us on the web at lifechurchboston.org. God's Word is taking off from where you are right now and rising to build you up on the way to your destiny. Let's climb on board.
Jesus, hallelujah. Oh Lord, you're all we want. Hallelujah. You're all we've ever needed. Oh, help us know that you are near, Lord God. Oh, just release your spirit into this room. Release your spirit into our hearts. Lord God, open our minds to receive your word this morning. Anoint my lips, Father God. Cleanse my palate, that the word that goes forth will be from you. Lord God, just help us, Lord, as we cry out for your help, Lord. We need your help. We are desperate for your help, Lord. And Father God, have your way. And we don't say that in a way that's trivial, Father. We want you to have your way. And that means putting our way down. Getting out of your way, that you might be glorified. Father, just have your way and just do your thing. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints, you may be seated. Good morning, I'm Pastor Valerie Johnson. Welcome. I'm here to bring the second part of a series this morning. But first, I want to give a couple of testimonies. God is really doing some great things in the kingdom. And if you pay attention, if you hang around the people of God long enough, you will see it. You will see it. I was really, really blessed to attend our brother Bill, raise your hand, his summit. I attended the plenary session Friday night, Al and I. And I didn't know what to expect. But this brother here is off the chain. That's all I can say. It was amazing to watch him conduct that band and just watch God move through him. And the Spirit of God was so present in that place as people talked about what God was doing in the kingdom and how he was preparing us to take territory for him. And Paul talks about not laying on another man's foundation, but breaking new ground. And that was really the theme of that summit, was breaking new ground for God and how God was changing and transforming and creating a new wineskin. And I was excited, and Al said he just didn't know what to do with all the information. It was just so overwhelming. And times like that, I am grateful to be a part of the kingdom and to be grateful to be part of something bigger than I am. And so I just wanted to encourage us to pay attention, encourage us to take these opportunities to participate and join with the body and our brothers and our sisters when God is doing something tremendous in them and through them. So I just wanted to bless Brother Bill and just say it was incredible. It was incredible that night. It was really, really good. So again, the word God has given me is the power of helplessness. And as I dwelled on it more and more, I began to understand that God had not just given me this word for our own individual walks and struggles, but this is a word I believe he has particularly crafted for Life Church. And so I want to be very careful and cognizant and really deliver this word in a way that we as a body are going to embrace it. There's a vision that God has given Life Church, and it is not to build where another man has already built, but it is to break new ground and take new territory. Now, in order to do that, we need to depend on God and his power to lead us and guide us. If you look at the New Testament church and you look at how the disciples moved out, you can see that they had to receive power from on high to go out to all the nations to bring a new word about God and his goodness and his mercy and what he was doing. And I believe that that is what God is doing with us. And there are going to be difficulties and there are going to be struggles. And there are going to be times when we are helpless. We are absolutely helpless and can only depend on the power and the goodness of God to get this work done. So I really want to encourage us this morning to understand that there is something God is doing here that requires us to let go of our own ideas, let go of old way of doing things, and to embrace this wineskin that is going to require us to let go of our own glory. Amen. So I'm going to briefly review. The power of helplessness is the key to accessing God's power. Helplessness, weakness, is how God manifests himself in us. And you see, Jesus perfectly illustrates this. He comes to earth as a helpless infant. And at the end of his life, he goes to the cross as a lamb to the slaughter, choosing helplessness to put down his glory and to completely trust the plan that the Father has for us, for him. But what I think is interesting is in the kingdom, oftentimes we get a little confused about God's power and sometimes feel like it's there for us to build ourselves up and to manifest our glory in our ministry and to really promote ourselves. And that is not how God's power is manifested in the kingdom. And we talked about how Jesus laid down his glory, but today we're going to look at how Paul laid down his glory, how Paul let go of the things that he was entitled to, the privileges that he had, so that God's power could be manifest in his weakness. It's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. But in order to accomplish what God has given us to accomplish here at Life Church, which is to transform lives, people who do not know God, do not know Jesus and his love and his grace and his mercy, in order to have the power to transform lives, which means we transform families and communities, we can only do that through God's power. There's not a social service program that can do what God's power can do in an individual, in a family, in a community, in a nation. So one thing God tells us is in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, he says we have to enter as children. He doesn't make this optional. He says you will never enter the kingdom unless you enter as children. That is a hard word. I know think about what that means for me. And I come from a line of women in my family. We are strong Black women. And we just really revere our own independence and our own strength and our own capacity to maintain, to manage, to handle our business. And that's something that's heavily promoted in my family. I know, and I'm grateful to my mother for a couple of things. One thing, she was like, you know, don't live a life dependent on a man. She was very clear about that. She was like, you have to be able to take care of yourself. And I think that has served me well in some aspects of my life. But in other aspects, it has been a struggle because the desire for independence and strength get in the way of my relationship with God and in my relationship with others, even men. So I'm going to put myself out there today and preach, as I talked to Brother Bill last week, from the inside out. Preaching from the inside out. And trusting y'all will love me the same at the end. Amen. Amen. The strong, the black woman flies in the face of this concept of helpless dependence. Because what is interesting about that concept, and I had this conversation in our life group last week, is I would challenge you to measure your level of dependence in your relationship with God by your level of dependence in your relationship with others. It is hard to have that level of intimacy and vulnerability with God if we do not allow that in our relationship with our brothers and our sisters. God is not schizophrenic. When he says, love me with all your heart, soul, and strength, he says, and the other command is the same. Love others as yourself. And there's a way in which we want that cross to simply be vertical. It's just a line going between me and God. But that cross and God's power and his agenda does not really get accomplished without that horizontal bar. It just can't. And so there's a way in which we have to understand that getting closer to God, having that intimacy, and being in that place of vulnerability starts with us doing that with one another. That's where it starts. They go hand in hand. And I'm going to challenge us this morning to really take measure of how we're doing in our relationships with one another. Because the thing that's really interesting is we all want to experience love. We all want to experience love. We all want to be able to love others, right? I want to be there for you. I got your back, girl. Call me. If you need anything, I'm there. But you won't hear from me if I need something, right? I'm not going to call you and say, I'm desperate. I'm in need. Pray for me. This is what I think God is saying. This is what I'm going through. Why? Because we don't want to look weak and vulnerable. But I have to tell you that we miss out on blessings like that. We miss out on our brothers and our sisters really growing in their ability to serve us. And we miss out on what God is able to do in our lives because he moves in our lives through them, through us, through one another. We have to really understand that that is how God moves. So I really want to drive that home today because I really think this is key to the vision that Life Church has. People are struggling in their relationships. They're struggling in their families. And if we can't really demonstrate family and relationship in a real way here, people are not going to receive what God has for them. They're going to miss the mark because we're missing the mark. So we have to learn to illustrate that. And so for me, I've struggled to put to death the strong black woman. And God brings people into my life, relationships into my life, to continue to push on that and push on that and push on that. Because it's something that has to be crucified again and again and again. And of course, it's become even more manifest in my life as I've entered into a relationship with Al. So, you know, that's when a person like myself, who has been alone and holding it down for quite some time, really begins to say, okay, what do I need to let go of in order to be in a healthy relationship, interdependent relationship with someone that I believe God has called me into relationship with? So this is something I'm struggling with individually, but this is not a word that's just for the individual. The majority of the Bible is a plural you. We take it as an individual you. Well, God is telling me this. God says you, you, you. But God speaks to communities and nations. He rarely speaks to an individual. So we have to really understand that when we're reading that Bible, we need to read it through the eyes of of what this means for me as I am part of a community, not just what God's doing in my life. Because God loves you, he wants to bless your life, but more than that, God has called us to function in a body. And so if the eyes are working and the feet are not working, if the fingers are working, but the lungs are not, it's not healthy. So in order to get where we need to be as a family, as a community, we really have to grow in helpless dependence on God and helpless dependence on one another. So I want to challenge this notion this morning of entitlement. And as a person who's been a believer for 20 years now, the notion of entitlement is a big, big thing in the kingdom. It's a way in which we feel like we are special because we're God's children. God owes us because we're doing the right thing. And, you know, I'm entitled to everything that the kingdom has for me. My life is supposed to be blessed. It's supposed to be abundantly overflowing with just blessings all the time. And it's supposed to be mountaintop after mountaintop after mountaintop. If not, Satan is attacking me. Right? If it ain't a mountaintop experience, it's Satan. Right? If it ain't going the way I think it should go, it's Satan. If I didn't get that thing I wanted, it's Satan. He's blocking me. You know, Satan's a hater. All up in my way. I have to tell you, most of the time it's not Satan. Most of the time it's God. Most of the time it's God that's blocking you. Most of the time it's God because he's trying to redirect your life. Okay? So we have to really be aware of that. That, you know, I love when Rockland used the term unindicted co-conspirator. Right? Oftentimes it's God who's plotting against our agenda. And we have to be mindful of that. Okay? So we looked at Philippians last week, and we looked at how Jesus put down his glory. And Philippians tells us, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. That emptying of himself, that kenosis, that letting go of his privileges. I happen to have somehow ended up in my faith walk around very privileged people as far as educational accomplishments, as far as professional accomplishment. And I watched how a lot of them let go of the things that society said they were entitled to because they had certain degrees and they had certain experiences and they had certain skills, and they gave it up. But I also saw how people felt like because they had certain skills and talents and accomplishments that they had a glory that they pursued for themselves. And they kind of wrapped it around this, I'm a child of God. So therefore, God has given me all these privileges and all this entitlement and all this, you know, these benefits. Of course God wants me to, you know, prosper from these things. And there are times in which we have to put down those things that are interfering with and competing with God's glory. So Jesus chose to become a bondservant, a servant to the will of God, a servant and a slave to God's agenda, letting go of his own freedom. Letting go of his own will, in a sense, not holding on to those things that will compete with the Father for his glory. He had to empty himself. And he became a man, which is a step down. And humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He let go of his glory. And so we have to let go of those things and be willing to let go of those things that we hold on to because they make us look good in front of other people. Or they make us feel superior to other people. Or they make us look strong. They are things that cover up our frailty. And the temptation is to not reveal that aspect of who we are. But when we look at the word, again and again, the people that God raises up and the people that he used are people who had tremendous frailty. Or he could not have used them. And I will just tell you to juxtapose Saul with David. Couldn't use Saul because Saul had an agenda. He protected his own glory. He wanted to make sure he looked good in front of the people. He didn't want to look weak or frail. He didn't want to look as if he didn't have it going on. So Saul did whatever he could to protect his own glory and how he looked before men. And you see how God dealt with him versus how he dealt with David and his sin. Because David was willing to reveal his frailty and embrace them and desperately cry out to God and say, I need you. I can't fix this. I messed it up. I can't get it right. And so God, have your way. And God was able to exalt David and use David for that reason, because David let go of his own agenda. David said, God, my life is yours and do with it as you will. That's a hard thing to do because we all desire to be self-determining individuals. We all desire to be autonomous and to accomplish the things that we think we should accomplish and have in our lives. So to put those things down and allow God to have his way is important. For a Christian, the desire to look good is the most deadly of desires. It is a deadly desire. It is something that will keep us from becoming what God has for us to be and doing what God has for us to do. And it will render us useless in the kingdom. So I want to look at this idea of being clothed in power from on high. So we're going to take a look at Luke 24:45-49. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. The disciples are charged with spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Jesus has told them, stay until they receive the promise, which is this power from on high. The church has a difficult task. It had a difficult task then. It has a difficult task today. And we need special ability. Special ability is needed in order to accomplish it. It cannot be carried out by mere human strength. What we have been charged to do, if we take the agenda of Christ seriously, cannot be done with mere human wisdom or human strength or human ability. It cannot. And that is why we are not seeing lives transformed as we should, or as God desires, because we need the power from on high. We need to wait for that. We need to seek it. We need to desire it. Too much of our Christian life, we don't understand that we are supposed to be having a supernatural life. Supernatural. Not just the things that we can accomplish in the natural. If you can accomplish it in the natural, you don't really need God. And we can get some good things done. And that's what confuses us. Every good thing ain't a God thing. And how much of it can be accomplished on your own versus the power from on high, the Holy Spirit. So this is what God has given us as a promise to getting his agenda done, is this power from the Holy Spirit. And this is what we need to seek each and every day. Filling our souls with the Spirit of God, and allowing him to set our agenda. Allowing him to use all of us. To use all of us. And what I mean by that is there are times when your frailty will be something God will use to draw others, to bless others, to draw us into a deeper dependence on the Father. Right? The Holy Spirit's power, you know, he doesn't want to compete with our own power, our own ability. So why is this power so important? It has to do with what Isaiah 61 tells us. The year of the Lord's favor. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness the prisoners. This is God's agenda. This agenda requires power. You can't do this in human wisdom and the strength of man. This agenda requires power. Preaching the good news to people who are poor in spirit, who don't know the Lord, who are in need of him. Binding up the brokenhearted. Our community and our families are full of brokenhearted people. People who are in pain. People who have suffered greatly in their lives. And setting the, proclaiming freedom for the captives. We are captive outside of Jesus Christ to a sin and often to patterns of self-destruction in our lives. To release from darkness the prisoners. And so Jesus comes as that light of the world. People in darkness need light. They need to see where they can't see. They need to be free so that the Father can have his way in their lives. So to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. This is God's vision. This is the church's agenda. And this is why we need that power, right? And this is why it's so important for us to embrace the type of helplessness and dependence that God needs from us. As I said earlier, Paul also gives us an example of emptying, of letting go of things that you're entitled to. So Philippians 3, Paul says, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Paul said, I am the man. I'll give you a little background on Paul. His parents were Jewish, presumably strict Pharisees. They were also Roman citizens. It is important to note that even though Judea was within the Roman Empire, most Jews were not Roman citizens. Citizenship outside of Italy was an honor reserved for people who made great contributions to the empire. Thus, we may presume that Paul's parents were people of influence and perhaps even moderate wealth. At the age of 14, Paul was sent to Jerusalem to train to be a rabbi. His teacher was a prominent man named Gamaliel. Rabbis at the time were also taught another trade. The idea was to keep teachers from becoming a burden on society. They also wanted to have something to fall back on during hard times. Paul was trained to be a tent maker. Yet Paul says, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. I'm letting go of all these privileges. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead." But he goes on to say, not that I have already obtained all this. This is a process. Or have already been made perfect. But I press on. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So Paul let go of the things that brought him glory, the things that he could boast about, the things that gave him status, the things that gave him privilege, the things that gave him entitlement. He said, I'm letting them go. I'm considering them nothing. Just as Jesus considered the thing, equality to God, he let it go. He didn't want to have a competing glory. Now, what's interesting is Paul says, I let go of the things. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. We have to let go of the things in our past, the things in our present that are just dead weight. Things that we just try to keep carrying forward. The Boston Marathon is tomorrow. I was laughing because the volcano has kept one of the runners from getting to Boston. Can't remember who it was, but I was laughing because I was like, well, the Kenyans are here already, so does it matter? You know, that was terrible. But I was like, but the Kenyans are here. Doesn't matter if you don't make it. So the marathon is tomorrow, and again, this vision of pressing on towards a goal, that we have a finish line in our lives that God has set for all of us. And too often, we spend our Christian walk like this. Going nowhere. Nowhere. Circles, backwards, forwards, side, side. Forgetting that there is a goal. Goal that has been set before us. And Paul said, I'm not letting anything interfere with that. I'm letting go of everything that competes with that. I am going towards this goal as a marathon athlete approaches the Boston Marathon. I am slimming down. I am dropping the dead weight. I am focused. Focused. We don't work hard enough to be focused. There's too much time spent going back and forth, side to side, and around in circles, as if we don't have a goal. And the goal is not your degree. It's not that promotion. It's not the house. Those are not the goals. The goal is the thing that we are pressing on towards in Christ Jesus. And some of us have not spent enough time figuring out what that looks like in our lives. What it is that God is calling us to let go of, how he's trying to streamline us for this race, and what is the finish line? What does it look like in our lives? And so I just want to challenge you this morning to spend less time focusing on those personal goals, that checklist that we all have, and spend some more time figuring out at the end of my life, as Jesus committed his spirit to God on the cross, at the end of my life, when I say, Lord, I commit my spirit to you, I have finished the work. When that curtain tore in two, Jesus said, my work is finished. I'm ready to come home. I'm done. What does that look like in your life? And I want to encourage you to understand that you will not figure that out alone. You won't. That is what we help one another understand. I could not have become a pastor if it had not been people in my life saying, I really see that this is what God is doing in you. I want to encourage you in what you're doing. I want you to be encouraged as you move forth in that way. Yep, that looks like you're going in the right direction. You can't see the forest for the trees sometimes. So we have to understand that the body that God has put us in is to help us understand what that goal is, how to find that finish line. You won't find it by yourself, right? So that moves us in again to this idea of being vulnerable, transparent and open, exposing ourselves to one another, letting others see, testing God's word. I think God is saying this to me. What do you think? I think God is moving me in this direction. What do you think? Are you hearing that from me? We need to really learn that this is how God works. This is how he moves in a body of believers. This is how he helps us to function as community. You don't have community if you have a bunch of individuals. Community requires interdependence. So we call ourselves a community, but in reality, we don't function as one. So I just want to encourage us again, this walk of helpless dependence requires us to grow in our dependence on one another. Paul tells us to join with others in following his example. He said, join with others. He's not talking to individuals. He's saying, look, join with others in following my example. And take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Our minds get confused by earthly things. It is very easy. You know, we look at the Israelites and we talk about how they kept slipping back into idolatry. And we say, how could they do that? They've got the Most High God. He is, you know, part of the Red Sea. He's given them manna in the desert. He's, you know, brought water out of rocks. I mean, how do they keep slipping back into idolatry? But I want to tell you that we ourselves struggle with idolatry. We struggle to conform to the society around us. That's what the Israelites kept doing. They kept conforming to the religions around them. They kept conforming to the societies around them. They kept conforming to the cultures around them. And we do that. I want a house, my neighbor has a house. I want a bigger car, my neighbor has a new car. I need a promotion, my neighbor just got a promotion. And we look like the people around us. You can hardly tell the difference. And it's because our minds are on earthly things. But I want to encourage you this morning that our citizenship is in heaven. That's our citizenship. That's what we have to keep our mind focused on. It's not an easy thing. And I'll tell you, without a community to help you stay focused on that, you will become distracted. Because it is a natural thing to be attracted to the things we see. It's very easy. I just want to ask the band to come up. So we're going to continue to explore Paul and how he put down this his glory and how he gives us examples of how to do that. And I want to encourage us to recommit ourselves to our citizenship in heaven. And it's not a dual citizenship. You know, sometimes you get these dual citizenship statuses. We can't have a competing citizenship, right? So as we begin to close, I want to have you take a moment to allow this word to germinate in your heart and to see what God is saying specifically to you about growing in dependence, growing in relationship with your brothers and your sisters, really setting your mind on the things and the agenda that God has for us as a community of believers, not just as individuals, and to think about the role you have to play in the body to get God's agenda accomplished. I believe God has called Life Church to something new. We're creating a new wineskin here. So I'm gonna pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that reminds us of what you're calling us to. And Lord God, we are grateful for your love and your grace and the fact that we can always start over in you. But Father, we want to embrace helpless dependence on you and on one another. Help us to grow in this attitude. Let us put down the things that interfere with your agenda. Help us to get out of our own way. Let go of the things that bring us glory. We don't want to compete with your glory. We want Life Church, Lord, to be like a beacon of light on a hill, Lord, just doing your work, bringing light into our communities of darkness. And so, Father God, we embrace your work here, and we make a commitment to figure out where we fit in. Help us, Lord. We cry out to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God is good. Are you ready to celebrate?
You've been listening to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. We hope you've enjoyed your flight. As we prepare to land, please leave the belt of truth buckled around your waist and keep your life in an upright position. If you would like to support this program, or if you simply want more information about Life Church, please visit our website at lifechurchboston.org. As you go on with your day, please remember, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. Please put what you've just heard into practice in your own life, then teach it to others, and watch God's kingdom take off around you.